Good morning, everyone. How's y'all doing this morning? Awesome. That's good. Do I need to move this? My son's as tall as me. Come up here and he... I was like, no. Clint, thank you so much for preaching last week. I was in here, the family reunion, and Clint filled in and did a great job. I got to listen to his sermon while I drove, and so I enjoyed it. So thank you for covering. I think it was Kid Dynamite, the great Mike Tyson, that said something like, everyone has a plan until they get hit in the nose. Was that Mike Tyson? Did he say that? And that's very true. I had a plan. We're currently in the middle of a move, and I'm staying at my parents' house, and my beard was getting pretty gnarly. I said, I probably need to trim this up. And so I asked my dad, I said, Dad, you got some clippers? And he said, yeah, here you go. And he gives me the clippers, and they kind of have their own guard on them. So I adjust to number four, which is what I normally do. And then I go with the number four, and I realize I just got hit in the nose because that number four is not the same as my number four. And so I had to take it all off. And the plan didn't work out the way I wanted. So I came away with less beard. And I wasn't too happy about that because I'm not a big fan of my face. But fortunately, my wife is. And so I thought it was a bad deal. And she's like, oh, I like it. You look so handsome. And so it ended up working out for me. So my wife, she remembered I had a nice face, according to her. And so it worked out well. Well, this morning I got hit in the nose again. I had slides all prepared, and somewhere between my computer and the computer back there, something didn't happen. And so there's no slides. And so I'm hoping for another moment like my wife had with my face that, hey, it ends up being better in the end. So I was back there like, oh no, we don't have the slides. And so I was trying to get it all together and do all that. So we're working without a net this morning, but I think it's going to work out great, I believe, because we're talking about God's word, and so it's just going to be awesome. We're starting a new series today called Unlimited. And we're going to look at today with Unlimited God. I think that's on your bulletin there that Susan makes out. Well, this is an old one here, but you have a bulletin there and it says Unlimited God. And we're going to look at the Unlimited Savior, Unlimited Faith, Unlimited Grace. This is the idea I want us to look at for the next few weeks. But today we're focusing on Unlimited God, right? Because that is who we serve. And, going into this, I thought, man, so many things. Where do you even start? How do you even preach this sermon? I mean, I thought about creation and all that he made. I want to talk about the complexities of space and how vast it is and how there's so much out there we don't even know, right? We can't even explore it all. Or how much is it, how deep the oceans are and we can't even get down there. And I wanted to look at our own human bodies and just how amazing they are and, molecules and nucleus and all, atoms and just all that kind of stuff. It's just so much that God has made. It's so amazing. And I wanted to do all this. And I wanted to think about, well, let's look at all the amazing things God has done, right, throughout history. And I wanted to look at the plagues that he brought down on Egypt to show that he was the one true God. And these other idols that they followed were not real and they weren't true. And so much I wanted to look at. And as I was going through, I realized that, the Bible has already said a lot of this stuff. The Bible's already said a lot of this stuff. I don't have to retell any of this. It's already been written down by people much smarter than me, much better with their words than I am. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at what the Bible says about how amazing and unlimited our God is. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm going to start off in the book of Matthew chapter 19 with a story that I think we read and we kind of... we get it. I'm not telling you a story you haven't heard before. We'll be in Matthew 19, chapter 19, verse 16. And I want to end it, and I believe in verse 26. And here's what goes. It says, Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? I've kept the commandments. Am I lacking anything else? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When you read the same story in Luke, we know that this young man, he's a rich young ruler. He has a lot of things about him. He's doing a lot of things right. He's keeping the commandments. This is a good guy, and he's a ruler. So chances are he's probably a ruler in the synagogue. He's living the way God wants him to live is the idea that you get. And then Jesus gives him this message. Okay, we'll take everything you got, sell it, give all that to the poor, and come follow me. That you'll have eternal life, he says, if you do that. And then it says here in verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He couldn't go, at least not now. Maybe he did it in the future, we don't know. But at this point, he couldn't do it. He went away sad. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. That's what Jesus says. Now, if you're one of these apostles, you're standing there, and you're following Jesus, right? And you see this guy come up, and he's living a righteous life. He's trying to do God. He's trying to do what he wants, or do what God wants him to do. And he's not going to be able to do this. He's going to struggle with this. And so they're sitting there like, oh my goodness. And this is what they ask. They say in verse 25, when they heard, the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Like, who can do this? Who can be saved? And here's what Jesus says. Verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With man, this is impossible. Because we are limited. Right? We are limited. He says, but with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And that's what I want us to focus on. This God that we serve, with him, all things are possible. We serve a limitless God. And this verse here, we're applying it to salvation. And we know it comes through Jesus Christ. Or at least I hope we know that. That we can't save ourselves. But because of Jesus Christ, we can find salvation. And we can be in the presence of God through him. But it's not just that. Right? It's not just that. All things are possible with God. And so I want us to look at this limitless God this morning. And the verse that was read, and Vince read Isaiah chapter 40. He ended on verse 28. But 26. But if you read on and you read verse 28. Oh, wow. Josiah, look at this. Man, he came through clutch. He got it. That's awesome. It's up on the board here. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. Unlike Stanley and myself and Josiah, who were at that youth lock-in the other night and still feeling the effects of it, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. You can't figure God out, and I'm glad that we can't, right? What kind of God do we want that we can figure out? Psalm 115. I want us to read Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8. Okay, and like I said, all these things I wanted to talk about, all these things I thought about how amazing God is, they're written down, and a lot of them are in Psalms, and that's what we're going to be a lot today. We're just going to read through some of the Psalms, all right? Psalm 115, 1 through 3. We're going to read these, and I want you to think, pull out of there, man, this is our God, right? This is the one we serve. Don't let this just roll over like it's nothing. Okay, this isn't Santa Claus that can get around the world in a night and make all these presents and knows what you're doing. Right? That's not who this is. This is a real God who has started it all, was there before he started it all, and he continues to work. And there's nothing impossible with him. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? And the other nations would say this to the Israelites. You know why? Because where was they could point to their God. Look, here's my God. I built them. Built them in the garage last week. The right eye is not exactly even with the left eye, but it works pretty good. That's my God. Here's my God. I made him out of gold over here. Casted him. All right, that's my God. Where's your God, Israel? Where's your God? I don't see him. That's what they would tell Israel. Right? So that's what he's saying. That's why the nations say that. Anyway, their answer is, our God's in heaven, and he does whatever pleases him. That's where our God is. He's in heaven, and he does whatever pleases him. We got the next one. Psalm 135, 5 through 18. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. And again, this was part of the plagues that came on Israel. These were a direct attack on the gods of Israel, right? The Nile River, they worshiped the Nile. It was their life source. And God says, you know what? I can do something about that. Turns it into blood. And all the others, right? Frogs and all these other gods that they worship, God used them to turn them on themselves because God says, no, I'm God over all of these. Your gods are nothing. Our God's greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him. And I love that, right? I think especially when you're a teenager, you want to do whatever you want to do. You, especially, I don't know about women. Maybe it's the same for you, but I know, God, we want to do whatever we want to do. And it works until we encounter someone stronger. Right? I want to do whatever I want to do until I encountered my dad. And then I wanted to do what he wanted me to do, right? Our God does whatever he wants to do. Nobody's going to tell him no. No one's going to stop him. No one's going to keep him from doing what he wants to do. And fortunately, amazingly, he's a God of love and he's a God of compassion. Our Lord does whatever pleases him. In the heavens, in the seas, in all their depths. Keep going, Josiah. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. This is our God. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of people and animals. He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings. And this is as they entered into the promised land. They didn't have to go. God already gave them a land that was already cultivated. There were homes that were already built. He struck down mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And he gave their land as an inheritance to his people, Israel. Your name, Lord, endures forever. Your renown, Lord, through all generations. All right, Josiah, I'll take over from here. I got the clicker. Thank you. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is their breath in their mouths. That's their gods, right? That's the gods of the other people. These are the gods many people worship today. Eyes that but they can't see, mouths but they can't speak, ears but they can't hear. They can't breathe. Look at that last verse. Those who make them will be like them. They will be like them. They won't be able to see. They'll have eyes, but they can't see. Ears, but they can't hear. Mouths, but they can't speak. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. That's Psalm 135. I got another one here. I'm going to go back. I'm going to read this one. Psalm 139, if you have your Bible, that's what I'm going to be reading. Psalm 139, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me. Now, before I read this, I want to pause, right? I wanted to look at the complexities of the universe and the things that we see before us when we look out into telescopes and we look at the world around us and in the scripture in Isaiah 40 that Vince read, where God knows the stars by name and he calls them out, right? And there's plenty of scriptures in the Bible. Maybe we'll get to some of them about how, you know, God takes care of even the animals that you don't even think about. And the land in which no one even lives, and he waters it and cares for it. And this is our God who controls nature around us and keeps it all going. He brings out the sun. This is what our God does. And then I wanted to talk about, the plagues on Egypt and in the Psalm 135, what we just read and talked about that. And I wanted to look at even our own selves, right? Bring it all the way into us. And the Psalms talk about this, and this is our God in Psalm 139. He says, O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Think about that one for a minute. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it. You hem me in behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You know the answer to that. Nowhere. You can't get away from God's presence. You can't flee from him. This is our God. He has no limits placed upon him. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go to make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will come, become night around me, even the darkness will not be too dark for you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. God knows us in and out. He's the one who created us. That's complex and amazing as our bodies are. He knitted them together. This is our God. This is who we serve. This is who we worship. This is no small task. We see it all around us. We take it for granted because children are born every day. But it's an amazing thing that God has done and continues to do to support human life. And we're blown away by this. This is our God. The Psalm 139, we ended that those verses. There's more, but we ended that where he says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. God's thoughts. You know, it's amazing that we know so much about God that we do, that he's given us as much knowledge through his word and through his Holy Spirit that we even have now. But even his thoughts, Isaiah 55, 9 says, as the heavens are higher than, let me see, did I have it up there? Maybe I didn't. Yeah, all right, we'll go with that. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says God, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As smart as we might become, as smart as we think we are, and there are some very, very smart people in this world that know a whole lot, right? Nothing compared to what God knows. As much as we want to attain, as much knowledge as we want to gather, as much information that we can build upon and grow and create and do the amazing things that we as humans have been able to do, it's nothing compared to the thoughts of our God. He is God and we are not. One last one. Matthew, oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't have it on there. 147, Psalm 147, if you have that in front of you. I'm going to read this entire psalm. And again, focus on the power that God has, that he is not contained. You know, when Solomon built the temple, he was like, God, this house can't contain you. This place that we built, as beautiful and as amazing as it is, it can't contain you. God can't be contained by humans. He is unlimited. Psalm 147, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him, because he deserves praise. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Think about this. Our God, who is so amazing, who sets the planets in motion, right? Who controls the seasons. As amazing as that is, I think he's more concerned with healing our broken hearts, with binding up our wounds. He's a compassionate God. Let that be a lesson for us. As we set out and we try to accomplish things that we're setting out to accomplish and build and grow, you know, make careers and build homes and all the amazing things we do and want to do and should do, because God's given us the ability. Let's not forget about those who are brokenhearted. If we want to be like our God, let's be compassionate for others. Verse 4 says, determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. You can't go to God with something he doesn't get. He understands. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man, but the Lord delights in those who fear him and put their hope in his unfailing love. We are so impressed, I believe, and rightfully so, with creation. I don't know if you've been fortunate enough to see the Grand Canyon, but pictures do not do it justice. When you stand there and you look out over it, it is an amazing thing. And really, it's just water carved through a rock. But it blows our mind, right? God's impressed with this, right? Here's what God likes, it says. Those who fear him, that's what he delights in. Those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Yesterday, unfortunately, I had to attend the funeral of an amazing, amazing woman. A beautiful family. So many good things were said about her. And I couldn't help but think, I'm blessed to be able to get up and, you know, before a congregation and preach. And every Sunday, you know, I'm saying words. And you'd like to think that you're bringing the Word of God before people and that there's influence and sway. And people look at you and, you know, you're a preacher, so you're supposed to be this holy man and, you know, stand out and everything. And all the amazing things that were being said about this woman who passed away, she was 65 years old. And myself and my family, my wife, being touched by her life and just how amazing she was. When I read this, I think of her, that God's delight was in her. Simple, She wasn't up in front of a crowd speaking. She wasn't writing books, but she was living in the footsteps of Jesus, following him, and had such an impact. A room, an auditorium bigger than this, full of people who have been touched and are better and more like Jesus because of her. And God delights in that. That's more amazing than a solar eclipse, which I don't know if you saw the last one, but that was pretty awesome. No, this woman's life was more amazing than the Grand Canyon, than the rings around Saturn. That's our God, as unlimited as he is. He delights in those who are putting their hope in his love. I was going to go on and read 147, but I'm not. With man, all things are limited. We know this. We live it every day. We encounter our own limitations every day. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to look at this city around us and this nation around us and this world around us and think, man, where are we going? How bad is it going to get? It's easy to look at our own limitations here as a local congregation and think, you know, how can we grow? What can we do? What's God want for us? But that's not what we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at our God who has no limitations. And the amazing things that he has done and will continue to do for those who put their hope and faith and trust in him. That's whose side we're on, church. Make light of none of these verses. These are accurate. These are legit. These are real. This is our God. And he lets us be on his team and work with him. The power that is in us and behind us and propelling us is unlimited. There's nothing that can stand in the way of God's plans. When we're in his plans, there is no failure. Church, that is our God. And we are blessed to be called his people. If you are not one of his people and you want to become one, that can happen today. Stanley's going to sing a song. You come up here, give your confession of your belief, your faith in Jesus Christ. We'll baptize you in the water and you are one of his. You have indwelling of unlimited power within you to do God's will. It's an amazing, beautiful thing. The fear of death, the fear of sin can be thrown off your shoulders and you can live a free in Christ without all of that fear. You have that opportunity now as we stand and sing.